is it so hard? Why is it so hard to say, I was what? Wrong. Please forgive me. I was wrong. Please forgive me. It's six words. Practice them.
Welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in Mount Airy, Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way.
Last week, Pastor Brian Grant began the first part of the message we will hear this evening with a little story showing how our world and even our lives would be in better shape if Jesus were in the right place. Certainly, a Christ-centered perspective is nowhere more important than when the subject is Finding the Love of Your Life, the title of this mini-series. Last week, Pastor Grant took us to a number of different scriptures as he listed some of those qualities that are crucially important to be looking for in a prospective mate before the heart gets involved. In the concluding part of that message we will hear this evening, Pastor Grant will be taking us to several more scriptures as he continues to develop the list of things to consider. Expect also a list of red flags, warnings from God's Word that this individual is not for you. Listen with us now as Pastor Grant brings the second part of his message entitled, Finding the Love of Your Life, Part 2. Here now is Pastor Grant.
Number 4, ensure they have a good work ethic. You said, Brother Brian, I thought you were giving me something deep. No, I don't want to be deep. I just want to be practical. Amen? Proverbs 6, 10 and 11. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man. Can I let you into a secret? There are scores of lazy people looking for a relationship. Guess why? They are looking for somebody to take care of them so they can get their rest. And you little, poor little unsuspecting you, do you know how rough it is to be married to a lazy person? And don't be fooled by their excuses. You know, a lazy person will give you a million reasons why they can't do any better. The Bible is so humorous. Sometimes when you read the Bible and what the Bible says, sometimes you just have to bust out laughing. Like here's this one in Proverbs 22:13. I think this is the most classic illustration of a lazy man's excuse. Here's what the man says. There's a lion outside. If I go outside, I'm going to get killed. Can you imagine? What a stupid excuse. There's a lion outside. Lazy folks will give you a million reasons, but I am suggesting you find out, does he have a J-O-B romance without finance? Is a nuisance. Married folks, are you lazy? I'm not only talking to guys, I'm talking to ladies too. Are you one of them lazy married folks that have a million excuses why you can't do this, why you can't do that, why? It's tough being married to a lazy person. And I encourage you, if that's you, that you speak to God today and you make a decision to change. Number 5, observe if they have self-control. Proverbs 22, verse 24 and 25 says this, make no friendship with a man given to anger. Did you see what it says? What did it say? Make what? No friendship. Young people, I hope you got that. The Bible says, make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. Boy, that's a strong one. It says, if you decide to get hooked up with an angry guy or angry woman, it says you are going to find yourself entangled in a snare and you cannot even get out. So it says, the solution, don't get involved with an angry man. Don't go that way. Communication is the what? Number one problem in marriage. Did you know that? The number one problem in marriage is communication. And I'm going to suggest to you that marrying an angry person guarantees poor communications. Any little thing can become World War II. The Bible is right. And some people say, well, he's so sweet, he's so cute, he loves me so much, he's going to change once we get married. I know once he put a ring on it, he's going to change. May I suggest to you, if he don't change before you're married, all hell is going to break loose once you're married. Because once he got you, he's not in the changing business. So make sure that you don't get yourself entangled. Here's number six, and this is a simple one, but an important one in the age we are living in. Ensure they are single. I'm talking about someone that's never been married or someone that's widowed. Turn in your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 7, verses 1 to 3. Do you not know, brothers, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over man as long as he lives. For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, that she's no adulteress, though she has married another man. I'm going to suggest that we make sure that this person, we're talking about somebody who's never married or widowed. Sunday school teacher said to his class, or to the lady, and she said, how many of you ladies would like to have husbands? And all the single ladies raised their hands. The Sunday school teacher, she said, that's bad. Please leave the husbands alone and go after the single men. And so I'm suggesting to you, my friend, don't come and tell me that the husband is almost dead. He's going to die soon. He's sick, you know. Brother Brian, the man's sick. He's very sick. I think he's going to die soon. Or don't tell me. Oh, by the way, you know, pretty much all the illustrations I've given, I'm telling you stuff that I've actually seen and heard, by the way. Folks will say to you, he's almost divorced. She almost divorced. So, you know, I mean, you know, they're not living together right now and they're working on the divorce. By the way, I still believe the Bible does not support divorce and remarriage. That's why I won't marry a divorced person. My conscience will not allow me to say, I now pronounce you man and wife. I won't be marrying any. So if you decide to remarry, you can invite me to the wedding. You might be surprised. I'll come. Just don't ask me to marry you, because I cannot say, I now pronounce you man and wife. But before I close, I want to give you 10 red flags to watch for. I'm only going to speak on 5 of them. Number one, 10 things that you need to take note of. Number one, watch out for a person who is never wrong. You ever met anybody like that? Oh my goodness. Can I suggest to you that a high percentage of the married couples that have problems, when you sit down and you talk to them, you find that there is that sense that married people feel their spouse is never wrong. Now, might I ask you, if you're married, I'm singles, I'm leaving you for a minute. Let me talk to these married folks. Why is it so hard? Why is it so hard to say, I was what? Wrong. Please forgive me. I was wrong. Please forgive me. It's 6 words. Practice them. Those of you who are married, this is earth-shattering information that might save your marriage. I was wrong. Please forgive me. And mean it. Amen. Don't do it to please me. Do it to please the Lord. But mean it. Mean it. If you're sitting there and you can't remember when last you said that to your spouse, chances are you're in sin. Because it is almost impossible for me to believe that two persons can be living together and only one person is constantly wrong. Listen, if you are never wrong, you are dead. It's only a dead person is never wrong. All of us who are alive, here's what Proverbs 28:13 says, whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. Who confesses and forsakes them? You must not only confess, but you must change your behavior. And I'm speaking to some married people who right now you got some drama. I'm speaking to some people who aren't even married, but there are issues between you and another family member or another friend. And listen, you have got to deal with wrong. This book is so full of instruction. You know, God knows, almost as if God knows how hard-headed we are, and over he has to talk about forgiveness. He has to talk about admitting you're wrong. He has to deal with that because we're so hard-headed. And I'm sad to say that I bet you there are a number of people in our audience today who, despite all I have shared over the last several months on this topic, you are still not dealing with admitting you are wrong. But listen, if you're in a relationship and this person won't admit they're wrong, that's a red flag. Two, they have addictions. I really am shocked sometimes that folks make so many excuses for folks with addictions. It's almost as if we figure everybody has an addiction, so therefore I may as well hold on to this girl with the addiction. I'm talking about all types of addictions, alcohol addiction, drug addiction, pornography or gambling. I'm saying don't make excuses. And don't try to rehabilitate them. You say, Brother Brian, why wouldn't I try to rehabilitate them? Don't you want me to do the Christian thing? You are not their therapist. Encourage them. So what do? You say, Brother, you're really giving some tough medicine. Do you know what I would encourage a person? You're in a relationship with somebody who has an addiction. I would say, you know what happened? Mavis, you're a very attractive person, but you have a real serious problem and you need to get it. You need help. You may even have a number for a counselor. You may say, here's a number. I want you to call this number and get some help. But Mavis, for the time being, I'm breaking off our friendship. Do you hear what I said? Don't make excuses. The guy is an alcoholic and you're still hanging in there? Why? Let him go.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Let him get help. If the Lord heals him, and then you can seek wisdom from God as to whether you should renew this relationship. But I am saying to you, that is not God's mind for you to be hanging in there. Listen, your involvement with this guy, you may think it is helping. No, more often than not, it slows the process because he figures she loves Jesus or he loves Jesus and they're willing to deal with, I'll just keep the way I am. Let him go. Third, another red flag. They can't keep their hands off you. Oh, I know you feel it's because you just have that special thing. You feel you really got it. And so, of course, if some guys will say, I love you so much, I'm not sure I can keep living if I can't have you. But was the poor boy living before he met you? He's really in love with himself. One of the tragedies of our generation is that the Church of Jesus Christ has lowered the standard so badly that sexual promiscuity among singles is rampant. You can actually look on Christians, young people's Facebook page, and you will find out all the stuff, all the hotels they shared, all the cruises they shared. And I am here to tell you that the Word of God has not changed. And if you want to go that course, now I'm going to say this the next time, and I'm going to say it right now because some of you won't be here. So let me just make a point. Some people say, Pastor, I would never buy a car without a test drive. Or as the Jamaicans would say, I would never buy a puss in a bag. That's the Jamaicans. They like to say, I will never buy a puss in a bag. You know what's a puss in a bag? A puss is a cat. They will never buy a cat that's in a bag. You can't see what's in there. Is the cat dead or is the cat alive? I ain't buying no puss, no cat in a bag. So say the Jamaicans. So the Americans will say, I will never buy a car without a test drive. And so, of course, we have to check to make sure all systems are go, all systems are functioning. Oh, I'm just being as practical as I can be. I'm going to tell you something that might surprise you. Did you know that the studies show that premarital sex increases the rate of divorce? Did you know that? You see, the reason you took the test drive was to help yourself to get some benefit. I am telling you that premarital sex gives you no benefit. It works against you. Next time we look at what God has to say on the subject as we talk about developing the relationship and where to find this person, this love of your life. Where do you find them? And secondly, how do you develop? So you got the green light. How do you develop that relationship? And I'm going to suggest one of the key ingredients. We're going to talk about several things. That's not all we're going to talk about. But one of the things, take your hand off the boy. Boy, take your hand off that woman. Save it. You say, Brother Brian, we've already been down that road. Oh, you can stop right now and say, God, we messed up. Wouldn't you forgive us? We want to make a brand new start. Second virginity, yes. A brand new virginity where you're saying, God, I messed up before. I had children. It doesn't matter what. But God, I want to go your way. I am encouraging you. Make that commitment today. Make a decision to live a Christ-centered life. You know, why do we think our way, our idea is a better idea? What are you looking for? Are you looking about pleasure now or for a love relationship that will last? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. Here's what it says. For this is the will of God. What? Read it with me. Your what? Sanctification. That you abstain from sexual immorality. You say, I want to know. People love to go to seminars and it says, I want to know the will of God. You know what? You really want to know the will of God? There it is. You really want to know the will of God, young person? There's several of you all over. Unmarried, there are a number of individuals here. You want to know the will of God? Here it is, your sanctification. Number four, you feel a need to hide things about the other person from family and friends. Do you know that happens a lot? In fact, some people are so anxious to hide stuff, they don't even show up with their friend. Do you realize that? You should always be concerned. When you don't, your friend is in a relationship and you don't even know who the person is. Why are they hiding you from their friend? Chances are it isn't anything positive. So if you find that you're hiding, that's a red flag. Fifth, they've hit you. If someone hits you and you're not even married, what do you expect will happen after? You may as well apply for a job as a punching bag. You say, Brother Brian, would anybody do that? It happens every day. Every day, there are young ladies marrying men who have hit them. I've spoken to some over the years. I'll never forget one young lady said to me, the guy had done her in, and she said, "Well, I deserved it. I was bad." What a low self-image you have, that a man would unload and you would say, "You deserve it." I'm going to say to you, if you're ever in a relationship and someone hits you, you say, "Brother Brian, but you just said earlier that if he says, 'I was wrong, please forgive me.'" Listen, if he says, "I am wrong, please forgive me," that's okay. You can forgive him. But say, "You're forgiven, but forgotten." Goodbye. See you later. Amen. Is this making any sense to you? You're going to have to read the others on your own. The time is gone. You can develop them on your own. And I just trust that the Spirit of God might give you wisdom as you pursue relationships. But let me ask, are you ready to live a Christ-centered life? You realize everything I have said hinges on this issue. Are you ready to live a Christ-centered life? You see, if you're not ready to live a Christ-centered life, some of the encouragement I have given you might seem a little off the wall, irrelevant, not in keeping with 2016. But if you're ready to live a Christ-centered life, you'll suddenly realize everything I have said lines up with what God desires for you. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 24 and 25, Jesus said, "Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock." Oh, I tell you, it pays to obey Jesus. That's what I want to close with. It pays to obey Jesus. He says, if you hear his sayings and do them, you'll be like that person who builds his house, his life on a rock. And all the drama happened, but it stood. And I wonder this morning, as we bring this to a close, is there someone here who would say to God, "God, I want to live a Christ-centered life. Yes, I'm saved, but God, I realize, although I'm saved, Jesus Christ is not the center of my life. I'm saved for heaven, but on earth, I'm in charge." Will you this morning talk to God? And if you're here and you're not saved, you're not sure that Jesus Christ lives in you, you have not received him by faith. The Lord Jesus Christ, who went to the cross and died for your sin, the one who loves you so much, you have not yet received him as your Savior and Lord. Listen, you cannot live a Christ-centered life until Jesus Christ has come into your heart and into your life. And I want you to know it can happen right now. This very morning, as we bring it to a close, you can say, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart." Little song we used to sing as children. "Into my heart, into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus." My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, "Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved?" You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this: "Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen." And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5900.
215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550. Or by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org.
Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant, Steve Washington, and our entire church family, this is Taylor Noble reminding you to tune in same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.